Yeah, made the right five calls.
Facilitate a little bit, park it. Put the name, part of it on Peter Ford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the guy from the what's going on here? Yeah.
No, yeah, obviously.
I think that was going to work itself out anyway.
One of the few tricky scenarios.
And so they're like super opposed to some like retail parking. And then the Boone neighborhood, but also houses homeless people for a living. He's fighting with some people who just explored like decades ago. It's fun for me.
Yeah.
Go.
You tell her, Jen.
You do it.
Get up. Green means go in this room.
It's so weird. Yeah, I just find your name.
It's new carpet smell.
It's all the microplastics you can breathe. I'm your boy.
Yeah, that was the most sustainable thing. Right. So that's. Sort of a backboard.
There's even a sink in the room.
So I'm doing great. That's how I get my
phone. That's like, okay.
Yeah, it'll.
You just leave it.
Yep.
And you get it back.
Yeah, typically. That's
you got the same old.
But even St. Joe does. Yeah. 20 minutes. Yeah. So,
yeah, it is. Actually, I'm from
Chicago. Now you got the 20, 30 minute drive back to Champaign. Well, now you're.
I wasn't worried.
Not bad.
Green is now. I see that.
It's like, well, it's off. Nope.
I guess these are new ones.
Or at least.
Well, they've been reworked.
We had to get all new ones for this room. There was something about not being able to transfer.
Yeah, red's off and green.
I don't
know what
to vent about the sixth grade center. There is a concerned sixth grade parent who would love to hear it all.
How long do you want to make?
Yeah.
That's here like the worst thing anyone could ever say. But no, it really should.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one proposal.
You put on your electrician.
We have a fine representative here to speak to it.
I have to replace.
We actually have a $2 bet to gamble on, like, the darkest of dark humor, so we couldn't do this one, though, because neither one of us was willing to take the heel open on time. So we might have to, like, pull out the calendar.
Yeah.
When will it open? I'm going to go with sort of, right? Because first they were going to make that up
something like that.
When they were going
can
to
you wire
it
up so
and then when that got pushed down by
should
the being hardwired into
that. Should be.
Is it
by code, I don't remember.
So after they did that, then suddenly it was not safe to be a school. We need to do immediate asbestos remediation. And then during the asbestos remediation is when they determined first of its kind, if not, it was an abandoned
house. Let me double check. They said it's just 120 volts. And
so it's some, I don't know when they officially started renovations.
I just got to think about that.
Probably they started them back in the asbestos mitigation.
I'm not seeing any
time.
Of the man
on
the
way.
They're missing the heat pump. Is that bad during air conditioning time?
Well, that's where they said
they
still have
the
window
units. So.
They were freaking out to get the gym air conditioning on.
It says you should have 12, but I'm going to
have to have 12 gauge for this little chart here. I think a 14 would be plenty. You should be able to buy.
Oh, well. And then there's Mahomet.
And get them 6 foot or 8 foot or shorter.
What are you trying to do over there now?
And water
pump. We have a pump on our pool. I have to replace it. I went out last week.
Okay.
And the new one is better than the old one. Old one's like 15 years old. So from what I've been told, we got borrowed time out. But
I know.
My pool guy ghosted me, and so now I'm like,
they're good. They're
you know, Hano hasn't called me back. I don't know these things, and I just. Trying to learn about it.
At the worst, if you had
to. Did you say Ohana didn't call you back?
Not yet.
They are great to
They
me.
Usually are, but it's been a day. And
it's
I mean, we probably have to talk to Matt specifically.
I usually do. Yeah. I didn't talk to anybody.
Hey, those hoop guys, you know.
6:29, we have quorum, so we're going to start in a minute, but I bet we have people at the other building today.
Oh, so we want to drag it out, so she has 2 minutes to take.
And make sure you don't turn it on.
Correction at the top, Chris Storr, please.
Yeah, we'll fix that.
Yes, Megan did catch that as soon as it was posted.
So when we have an approval of agenda, we'll fix that.
I'll let somebody else do that.
Vice Chair Rodriguez has gone to Brookings. She'll be here soon.
I was wondering.
Ed said he'd be here.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he specifically did.
He's like, I'll be there. Something to that effect. Unless he mistakenly
went over there to
Brookings. It'd be easy enough to do. I mean, you're ingrained, basically.
Oh,
you aren't thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just. I'd take a completely different route because I'd go out Windsor to 1:30 to go to Brookings, but I just came up University the whole way here.
Yeah, so I live right by the interstate, so I just jump on it and get up over there, you know, by University and come back around a little bit.
That place is dead to me now. I don't think about that place ever.
You live in the East and we know it. While we're vamping for time for our friends here, I will tell you, Kate used to laugh when people would get attacked by the geese. So Kate is one.
I did. I had a window near Steve's office, so I could always see them.
When I was in the auditor's office, I used to yell at the geese through my window and scoff at me and things like that.
Well, see, we're still, you know, a few of us are still in the highway commission, so we still have to go to the highway building.
And that's
And they have the, they have their own pod.
Yeah, exactly.
Had them, well.
But they're nice. They try to sweep it before we go in there on Fridays.
It's so nice with the Putnam room. The AC doesn't you're sitting there talking, and they say, you know, or whatever. It's like, can't hardly hear. That's nice.
All right, it's 6:32. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll? Esri.
Here.
Arnie.
Present.
Pugh.
Present.
Rodriguez. Sexton. Wiggs.
Here.
Locke. Here. Moving on, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
So moved Farney, second Wiggs. We have noted, Brett, do you want to make a motion to amend the agenda? Just the very top of it?
Sure. can the top, can we amend the agenda, make a motion to replace Chris Starr with Daniel Wiggs?
As he is a seated member, I think that's a great friendly amendment.
I will accept that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for noticing that. All right. If barring any further discussion, all in favor of passing the agenda, approving the agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Great.
I did actually not notice that he was saying that, so I just heard him.
All right. Next up, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the May 20th, 2025 meeting. Mr. Esri, second by Wiggs. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor of the minutes from May 20th, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. I see only one member of the public who is here for later. You're welcome to give us input now, but we'll bring you up later. All right, then we'll move along. Any board member communications? Mr. Pugh.
Yes, it actually pertains to this, too. I've actually talked to Land of Lincoln Legal, it's a little bit of a tongue twister there a few times, maybe to ask them if they have anything for expungement with opioid-related items they might have, and we could actually put money towards. I think that probably would be a good use for it. For some of the people that would help them get back on their feet, jobs, place to live, whatnot.
Yeah, let's talk about that later. That's a good idea. Thank you. Any further board member communications? Okay, moving on. New business, Broadlands Longview Fire Protection District. Funding request for automated chest compression device. Can you come on forward to the microphone for us, please?
Do we need a motion to...
Oh.
I'll move approval of this.
All right. Motion by Farney, second by Esri. I was going to get some info first, but that works. All right. Now, can you turn on your, if you push the button on the mic when it's green, thank you.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. I hope it's not too low for you. Good. All right. Could you just tell us your name and what you're here asking us for?
Yep. So my name is Clayton Bush. I'm the fire chief over at Longview Fire Station. We're part of the Broadlands Longview Fire Protection District. And we're asking to outfit two of our medical trucks with the automated chest compression devices. And I did get some money committed already from the proposed wind farm as well. So they'll be helping out with the project.
Awesome. Just to build a record for public record for us,
yep.
If somebody has... an overdose within the Broadlands Longview Fire Protection District. What's the course of action? How do you respond to an overdose?
Yep. So that is where our EMS protocols come in. Obviously, we're going to do like any other call, get the patient's vitals, or in this case, you know, we'll check obviously first if they have a pulse, if they're breathing, and. Yeah, we'll obviously first try Narcan, which we carry in all of our trucks. It's required by IDPH rules. And with the Narcan use, if they don't have a pulse, you know, then obviously the chest compression CPR comes in. And then we're kind of on our own until the ambulance gets there. And then at that point, they take over, but they are going to need our help in that situation. And that's, yeah, at that point, we're their hands too, so...
So in that time, if chest compressions are necessary in that time between when you start and you're waiting for EMS to get there, that's all the volunteer company, correct?
Yep.
Average age?
Yep, so average age, it's a nationwide issue. People of my age just aren't volunteering anymore. So, you know, a lot of our guys are my parents' age, which would be in your 60s and if not older. And so I hope none of you have done CPR before, but it's very labor intensive. And by law, we can't stop after we start. We have to wait for the paramedics to tell us to stop. And so once we start, it's everyone's working their, everyone's doing everything they can. And so as the older generation, that's almost more of a safety issue.
Yeah, so how would this machine help you? How does this machine work?
Yep, so the machine straps onto the patient. There's a back plate that we slide under the patient, and then it clips onto that back plate and goes over their chest. And then there's an arm that extends down and suction cups to their chest, and then it does the compressions for us. Typically, we have a minimum of two guys assigned to doing chest compressions because, and they're trading off every 30 compressions because it's so intensive. By the machine doing that, that opens up, really opens up those two guys to help with other tasks. You know, you've got to set the AED up and kind of monitor it. We've got to get the patient intubated. You've got someone ventilating the patient. In the meantime, you've got the loved ones, friends, family, whatever, staring over your back that are obviously hysterical, which rightfully so. So if we can send someone to pull the family out of the room, that's beneficial for us and them. So in one of these scenarios, it's all hands on deck. And you know, with the volunteer world, it's hard to get enough guys to comfortably do that.
Mr. Pony?
Do these operate on like a rechargeable battery or?
Yep, so there's a rechargeable battery and it also will plug in. So the manufacturer tells me that it's got like a 60-minute runtime. And so, but if that battery dies, we can still plug the machine into the wall and continue to operate. And we can buy additional batteries and additional charger as well if we would, you know, need to keep longer than a 60-minute runtime, but usually after 60 minutes, we're probably going to be making some decisions.
Right, and you mentioned to me earlier that with Longview being, you know, a half hour away from Champaign-Urbana and ambulances can be sometimes 20 minutes, you need that full time, and just imagine having two volunteer firefighters having to do that for 30, 40 minutes. That's got to be exhausting, so
yep.
I agree.
Typically on the, you know, once we start, like I said, we can't stop by protocol. And if the ambulance decides to transport, it's obviously going to be more work than they can handle. So they're going to pull our guys to ride along with them, even drive the ambulance. So you may turn into a 40-minute or longer kind of round trip for us and the patient. So that's definitely beneficial in. Obviously, that's going to help increase their survival odds because if we can't stop, so we've got to get the patient off the ground, onto the cot, out of the house or wherever. Obviously, you know, leverage at the cot being up is hard to get good compressions going where this machine just stays with the patient. So it's nonstop from the minute we put it on to the second we transfer them to the ER nurse is nonstop. So that definitely increases their chances of survival and non-permanent damage.
Mr. Wakes?
Are there other districts that you're aware of around you that have these machines?
Yep.
Have you heard things or feedback from them about them?
Yeah, so currently within just the outer, excluding Champaign-Urbana, city fire departments, there's actually already 11 in the county. And when I started this, I talked to every fire chief in the county, and everyone that has one says they are worth every penny. You know, it's one of those tools you hope you never had to get out, but when you do have to use them, it's impressive of how well, you know, how efficient it becomes, and how much it takes off of our jobs.
Mr. Estes, then Mr. Pugh.
Yes, Clayton, just wondering if by chance you know roughly how many of your medical calls, I guess you'd say, or calls period involve CPR to where you would, I mean, I'm not worried about it if it's only five even, but because to me that would still be worth this machine, but just curious if you know roughly per year how many involve.
I wish I had the exact number for you. Just kind of in the last year and a half, I could say we've probably had at least three, if not four, full arrests that I've just aware off the top of my head. And one of them, we were actually able to use Homer, had a paramedic, his AR ambulance assigned a paramedic to sit in Homer at that time. And we were actually able to use his device on a patient. And unfortunately, it was not successful, but I was trying to remember exactly when that date was, we had a full arrest in our district that we actually witnessed, and we were able to use that Homer paramedic Carter's Lucas device, which is their brand that they carry, and that patient did actually live for another couple weeks, and it again took a lot of they just took one, I drove the ambulance, and one of my guys just stayed in the back just to help with, you know, ventilation and stuff, but that patient was a save for, like I said, it was a couple weeks that he continued to live.
Mr. Pugh.
Thank you. I have no problem with this, but it seems like it may not go directly towards something opioid related. It seems like maybe Julia Reed's had a problem with that before.
We've talked with them about this, but we don't have full state's attorney approval of the contract yet because Mr. Beckett was out of the office while we were negotiating this. But we do have, I believe that we have, like, in spirit that they've said that this is an approved use, correct? Yeah.
They sign up. I have no problem.
Yeah, I'm double checking with our grant coordinator.
That's
who's double duty right now. But yeah,
I just want to make sure because I don't want her to come into a meeting and yell at us.
I think I'd fight. Yeah, we fight her here. We love her and we fight her. Excellent question,
right,
though.
Thank you.
Emily.
Thanks. First of all, I want to apologize that I was late. I went to Brookings, and I also want to explain my eyes. I'm having an allergic reaction to something. I have not been crying all day, even though my face would suggest otherwise. It does feel like I have been punched in the face several times. But my question is, I see, two things here. Can you explain how this would work alongside Narcan and Naloxone? And then secondly, I see one of the major benefits here is freeing up two people. Can you explain what they would be doing while this is going on? And I'm sorry if you've already answered that question. It's entirely possible it's 5 minutes late.
Nope, that's all right. So working in conjunction with Narcan, obviously Narcan is a very non-invasive thing to try. In fact, it's used pretty commonly just because there's no side effects to it. So any unresponsive patient, that's definitely worth a try first. With the overdose, if they are overdosed enough to where it knocks out the respiratory drive, that's where the Lucas comes in, or the ACC device comes in to let us start doing the chest compressions, the CPR, because they've reached to the fatal overdose, kind of towards the fatal overdose direction. But Narcan's, can it also be as used in conjunction to stop the now we're digging back to the days when they introduced it of chemically how it works, but to start reversing to stop the opioid from having its effect on the brain. So if we can push Narcan to get that to stop and then work on getting the patients back alive at that point, get chest compressions going and get ventilation going and try to waiting for the paramedics to give their drugs that they can give to hopefully get the patient back. As far as opening up two, at a minimum of two responders, because we, chest compressions, again, are so labor-intensive that we have at least two guys, one doing compressions and one guy is resting, but they're right next to the patient ready to dive in. And so the ACC device is doing the compressions for us, and it's a machine, so it doesn't get tired. And so we're able to open up those two guys to help with other tasks.
Okay, thank you. I just want to add, as a part of my work on the Citizen Police Review Subcommittee in Champaign, we had to do about 24 and then additional in the other line of work. Many hours of police ride-alongs. And I can tell you, like, one of the first things that police officers told me, we arrived at the scene of an overdose, and so I've seen kind of the process. But one of the first things that officers told me is that you'd be surprised at how many times it's the fire department who's the first responder on the scene.
Yep.
So I'm happy to hear a request from a fire department here.
Yep. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right. Hearing no more discussion. All in favor of passing this along to the board for approval? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Well, this won't make it before the board this coming Thursday because we don't have the contract, so it will be at the August meeting, I anticipate.
Yep.
But we'll call you if you want to come along for it, and we probably won't have a short presentation before the board unless you really want to.
Gotcha.
but we should have this approved for you. It'll go before the board, and if the board approves, it'll be in August.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
Well, thank you guys for your time. And
okay. All right, moving on. Next, we have within the packet on page 30, we have the opioid funding update. We've asked our magnificent grant coordinator, Kate, put that in the minutes, our magnificent grant coordinator, Kate, to put together a projected allocation because settlements, there's more than just the one that started this ball rolling, and so we can see that in the coming years, it's estimated to be much more than $90,000 per year like we had originally planned. So I just wanted everybody to see that so we can maybe think bigger for what we could do. Like maybe it does mean we have enough money to fund an opioid-specific probation officer, or maybe it does mean we have money for insert your proposals here and forward them along to Kate. And then we don't really have a next steps discussion. And our next meeting is to be determined. We do have one proposal that's going back and forth right now. I expect we'll hear from them eventually. We've just had to do some narrowing down to satisfy, for Brett's point, to satisfy our various concerns within, you know, the best way to maintain the funds and keep bringing them in. So we will have another one coming in, but we don't have a date on that yet. So I'd say maybe 6 to 8 weeks from now, and we'll reach out with a doodle poll to get that scheduled when it happens. Other than that, there is no chair's report, and I call this meeting adjourned at 6:49.
All of them in the area. So we decided we needed to hear individual requests.
Yeah.